heavy hearts. We need to hear from the Lord this morning. So let us not tarry. Let's open our word to Psalm 88. Psalm 88, this is the word of the Lord. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders from the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Let us pray. Lord, we need comfort this morning. We pray that you would meet us in a special way this morning, that we would experience the comfort of your love, that we would leave here more in love with Christ and changed in such a way that would last for all eternity. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. In God's providence, we have what may be an appropriate text this morning. Psalm 88 is quite possibly the saddest, the gloomiest, the darkest of all the Psalms. To put it bluntly, Psalm 88 is the ultimate Debbie Downer. See, unlike other psalms that at least end on a bright note, Psalm 88 ends with darkness, literally with the word darkness. So here's the question: why in the world would the Lord include such a miserable text in his word? What value does Psalm 88 have in the life of a believer? What are we supposed to glean from the psalmist's melancholy prayer? Well, brothers and sisters, I submit to you that what the Lord offers us through Psalm 88 is permission to keep it real. Psalm 88 gives us permission, authorization, license, the go-ahead to keep it real. For those of you all that may be unaware, keep it real is an urban colloquial expression that means to remain authentic and sincere. It means to be frank and transparent about our experiences. And Psalm 88 gives us permission to keep it real with the Lord when we pray in those dark valleys of life that we all have been in and will pass it through again on this side of eternity. And Psalm 88 gives us permission to keep it real in our prayers in at least four ways, which we'll highlight briefly. First, in Psalm 88, we have permission to keep it real by keeping it desperate. Desperate in our prayers. Three times in Psalm 88, three times the psalmist tells us that he cries out to the Lord in desperation. At the end of verse 1, he says, "Day and night I cry out to you." In the second part of verse 9, he says, "I call," or "I cry to you, Lord, every day." And in verse 13, he says, I cry to you for help, Lord. Y'all, this isn't some passive pity party type of request. The psalmist is begging. He is pleading with the Lord to act on his behalf. He feels as if his life is slipping. And so he cries out in desperation. The psalmist says to the Lord at the end of verse 9 that I spread my hands towards you. You can imagine his arms overextended, his fingers spread wide, probably crying and sweating, possibly even screaming, begging the Lord to rescue him. He's desperate, and he's keeping that reality real. Brothers and sisters, in this way, Psalm 88 frees us from the bondage of feeling as if we need to be formal or proper when talking with the Lord in our private prayers. Psalm 88 gives us permission to cry out, permission to let the tears fall, to scream out in desperation to the Lord. The Lord wants us to keep it real with him by keeping it desperate. And in the psalmist's desperation, he also feels free to keep it real by being totally honest. Honest with the Lord about the misery he's experiencing. We see the psalmist's unbridled honesty probably most strikingly in all the accusatory you statements that are peppered all throughout the text. You see, in verse 6, he says, you have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy on me, and you overwhelm me with your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. The psalmist being straight up honest with the Lord about his frustrations. Get this, his frustrations even with the Lord himself. And he repeats the hook of this frustration in verses 15 through 18 saying, afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. And in verse 18, he declares again, you have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. Once again, it's obvious that the psalmist feels free to be totally honest. He feels free to completely pour out everything that's in his heart to the Lord. Look, y'all, if you're anything like me, if you're honest, there are times where you can get frustrated with either what the Lord is doing or is not doing in your life, right? There are times, if we're honest, that circumstances can make it seem that maybe somehow we miss God. I mean, sometimes it's like, look, Lord, I'm in seminary following what I thought was your call on my life to the ministry. But since I got here, it just seems like the bottom keeps falling out of my life. These classes are kicking my tail. I'm trying to work and go to school, and it never seems like I have enough, right? Enough time, enough money, enough energy to do those things that I thought you were calling me to do. And all this stress is affecting my relationships. And even though I can kind of see some light at the end of the seminary tunnel, I don't necessarily see a job standing in that light, Lord. And if I'm honest, Lord, I mean, if I'm really, really honest, sometimes I feel like if I really was your daughter, if I really was your son, you wouldn't put me through all this mess. Has anyone ever experienced any of those feelings before? You don't have to raise your hand. And up here, right, we know that God doesn't owe us anything. We know the theological truths about God's sovereignty in Romans 8:28, how he works all these things together for our good. But sometimes that doesn't always make the frustration, the hurt, even the anger go away. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 88 gives you permission to pour out all of your hearts to the Lord, even when what's in your heart isn't nice, isn't happy, isn't politically correct. Psalm 88 gives you permission to keep it honest with the Lord in your prayers. But not only does the psalmist keep it desperate and honest, we see that he also keeps it determined. Determined
in his prayers. All throughout the psalm, we get these snapshots of the psalmist's determination. In verse 1, he says, "Day and night I cry out to you." In verse 9, he says, "I call to you, Lord, every day." And in verse 13, he adds, "In the morning, my prayers come before you." And if we stitch these three pictures of petition together, we get one panoramic view of unremitting, undeterred, clinging to the Lord in prayer. Morning, noon, and night, all day, every day. This guy is on his knees, crying to the Lord for relief, crying to the Lord for healing. He doesn't give up. He keeps on praying. He's determined. So here's a question for each of you. How determined have you been lately in your prayers? What have you stopped praying about? We all go through those valleys of life when the dark is so thick, when the struggle is so hard, when the pressure can feel so heavy that you're tempted to ask, why even bother praying? But brothers and sisters, in those dark moments, in those dark seasons, please, please, please remember Psalm 88. Remember the psalmist's determination to keep on praying, to keep on crying out, even when the Lord was painfully silent. Keep it real in those moments by keeping it determined. Now the question is, what was it that kept him so determined? What was it that kept him praying even though the Lord was painfully silent? Well, our text reveals that the psalmist's ability to keep it determined was fueled by his ability to remain confident that the Lord was the only one who could and who would save him. See, it's easy in a dark psalm like this to overlook the glimmers of light that show through. And right in the beginning of our text, there is a bright light that shines through when the psalmist opens this desperate, honest, determined prayer with a confident opening, "O Lord, God of my salvation." God of my salvation. See, when we understand this psalm in light of this opening line, we realize that his frustration is not because he doubts God's ability to act. It's not because he questions God's power to do something. Rather, it's the opposite. He knows God's promise of salvation. And so his agony is actually a solemn sign of his confidence in the Lord and in the Lord's promises. Now, I have three little girls. My oldest, her name is Mackenzie. She's 6 years old. She likes ice cream. Go figure. Okay? And if I tell my daughter Mackenzie, "Daddy's going to take you to get some ice cream," and I don't tell her exactly when I'm going to take her to get ice cream, the kid will get on my nerves all day long asking me, "Daddy, are we going now? Daddy, are we going now?" Right? She'll even start doing things around the house that kids shouldn't even be doing. Like, "Daddy, I just flipped your mattress. Can we go now?" "Daddy, I just finished your taxes. Can we go now?" And this will go on all day until I finally fulfill my ice cream promise. Now understand, if I had never promised her anything, then she would have never bugged me. Likewise, if I had promised her something, but I had a track record of being a deadbeat dad who never kept his promises, she probably would have ignored my promise. Furthermore, if I had promised her something that she didn't actually believe that I actually had the resources, the money to give her, then it probably would have gone in one ear and out the other. But because I did make her a promise, and because I do have a track record with my daughter for keeping my promises, and because I do have the $3 or whatever it is to get the ice cream for the kid, her constant crying out of when is not calling my ability or credibility into question. Her bugging and pleading is not doubting my dependability. Rather, it's a sign, a reflection a testament to her complete confidence and anticipation of the fulfillment of my ice cream promise. And likewise, the psalmist knows that the Lord is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God who has the ability to bring his promises to fruition whenever he pleases. And this is why he agonizes while he waits in the dark for God's promises to be fulfilled. And brothers and sisters, you and I know that the Lord is truly a promise-keeping God, even in a way that the psalmist didn't. For we know how the Father has kept his promises through his Son, Jesus Christ. We stand on the other side of the cross, and thus we can be more confident in God's promise to save. See, it was Jesus who made Psalm 88 one of the leading tracks to the soundtrack of his life. Scripture teaches us that, like the psalmist, Jesus cried out in prayer to the Father. The book of Hebrews tells us that while Jesus was on earth, he offered up prayers and pleadings, it says, with loud cries and tears. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his arrest, the pressure of dying for the dark sins of the world was weighing on him so heavily that the text says that his sweat was like blood, as he screamed out in agony, Abba, Father. And like the psalmist, Jesus experienced true abandonment from family, from friends. And he experienced the ultimate abandonment from the Father when he stretched out his arms on the cross, absorbing the wrath that was due to you and to me. Here's the grand point, brothers and sisters. Jesus knows all about your struggles. There's not a crevice of darkness in your life that he doesn't understand. He knows darkness better than we ever will, because he experienced a midnight of darkness when he hung on the cross. And it's when we come to the foot of this cross, and when we gaze up at what Christ endured for us, that we can see the love and grace of God that seems so hidden in the shadows of life. We can see how it has been once and for all spectacularly revealed. It is at the cross that we find an inexhaustible, unlimited, boundless, endless source of comfort, hope, and peace in those seasons of darkness that free us to keep it real, to keep it honest, to keep it desperate, to keep it determined, all because we can keep it confident in the finished work of Christ. The psalmist's last words of Psalm 88. Our darkness is my closest friend. But brothers and sisters, I declare to you this morning that that is never our last word. For we have a Savior who made darkness his closest friend on a Good Friday, so that on the third day, he could burst forth victorious over darkness and become our closest friend in the shadows of our life. We can keep it real in the dark in our prayers to the Lord, because the Lord himself sits with us in the valleys of life. And because of that, we can celebrate. We can worship even in the dark valleys. We can sing along with the hymn writer, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Amen. Amen. And amen.